Two-thirds of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. This new solar generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run the big appliances like your fridge even longer. Best of all, this new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas, ever. Over 150,000 Americans trust Patriot Power Generators. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies like My Date with the President's Daughter
and the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You're listening to the Tudor Dixon Podcast in the Clay and Buck Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Tudor Dixon Podcast. I'm Tudor Dixon, and I'm glad you're joining me today. And today I have with me Bobby Burek. He is a writer for OutKick, and most importantly, he is a fellow Michigander. Welcome to the podcast, Bobby.
Yeah, Tudor, I appreciate it. You're the only person in media that I know is from and lives in Michigan. So pretty cool, right? It's always people from New York, California, people I can't relate to. So fellow Michigander is pretty cool.
Yes, I know. So we need to let people know what the majority of the country is really like. That's why it's important for us to talk. And I think that the best way to kick this off is this latest stuff with beer. What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, it's so wild, Tudor, because if you look at it, and this is a problem with so many corporations, is that they cater to their critics, not their consumer base. That's what you see with Bud Light and you see with Miller Lite, even though their ad was a couple months ago. It just resurfaced this week about trying to honor the founding mothers of beer who evil men put in bikinis, I believe is their phrasing. But that is just them not understanding who their consumers are. And you saw this so often with big TV networks, is that instead of reassuring the people who are buying their products or consuming their products that they're for them, they just neglect them and go and try to make amends with people who already don't like them. And that was my biggest issue with Bud Light, is that by honoring Dylan Mulvaney, who, I don't know, is either mentally ill or trying to mock the female gender. I mean, the stuff he does is just so asinine that they're not appealing to Bud Light drinkers. They're telling them, hey, we don't care what you guys want. We're going to try to appeal to a new group, which according to the vice president is less fratty. She said Bud Light consumers are too fratty. So it's disrespectful to the consumer.
But if that's what you're saying, are you really a marketer if you don't understand? Well, she actually understood who her clientele is, but she decided that she was going to go against what they would want. Why would you do that?
Well, because I think they prioritize PR and confuse status with success, right? I think this marketer knows who her audience is, but thought maybe the New York Times is going to honor Anheuser-Busch by getting the business with Dylan Mulvaney. I think it's status over success. And I wrote a piece on this last week. The whole Bud Light repercussion, sales, and market capitalize collapsing, that just shows you that the common man still has a lot of power in this country, even if marketers and big firms so often neglect them.
I'm really tired of this. You know, if you see a woman who is appearing to be beautiful in some way, that this is somehow taking away from women. I think it's funny that these like raging liberals will go on and on about how women are taken advantage of, put in bikinis. But those same liberals will then be like, I quit my job teaching and now I'm making $500,000 on OnlyFans. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's like those liberal women who put on TikTok, like wearing revealing clothing and bikinis and say, why are my followers sexually harassed?
Yeah, like those girls that go to the gym and they're like, he's looking at my butt.
Yeah, yeah. And you see that so often. That's exactly what it is, right? Like on the one hand, can. They post a photo so everybody sees them and calls them hot. Then they get offended when they are hot. So they're kind of serving two purposes, right? They want to be called hot, but they want to be offended when they're called hot. It's a really backwards look at the way we've progressed as a society.
I think it's interesting because, you know, women in bikinis are able to sell things. Men in bikinis, never. That's never a good idea. I think it gives women more power. People see men in a Speedo and they're like, oh my gosh, wash my eyes out. I never want to see that again. So I think women should be proud that we can sell things.
I agree. And by the way, you know, nobody wants to say what you just said. And that's what bothers me so much, because in these meetings, they're not saying what you and I are saying, which is the truth, right? Because the truth is now apparently offended. Like what you said, somebody say, oh, Tudor, that's sexist. How dare you? By the way, are you sure that guy wearing a Speedo is a man? I mean, those are the conversations we have in corporate America. But normal people like you and I would say it's pretty obvious. Beer drinkers would rather look at a hot chick in a bikini than some guy, Dylan Mulvaney, who pretends to be a girl, even though he's a 27-year-old
man. But the funny thing is that they will put him in a bikini in a tub and be like, and so... So how does this work? Like the way your mind has to twist around this. Wait a minute. You have a man in a bikini in a bathtub, and that is supposed to be sexy, but he's supposed to be a woman. And so women in a bathtub then are sexy. But then if you're a biological woman, you have to be mad about being in a bathtub. If you've decided to become a woman, can you do this? What? How do you even wrap your mind around these things?
Yeah, I mean, like most things with the trans movement, it just puts my mind in a blender, because like what you just said, trying to connect all the dots, man, woman, the appropriate, not appropriate, you're absolutely right. And again, I don't think none of this stuff is representative of society at large. I believe there's a small, radical, very loud minority that supports this stuff. I think it's quite clear based on the reaction to the Bud Light partnership that most Americans say, yeah, this stuff's nonsense. That guy's a troll. There's something wrong with him. We really shouldn't be celebrating his 365 days of girlhood. By the way, not womanhood, girlhood. And it's just so messed up. And I think glad to see most of the country take a stand and just stop buying Bud Light after this.
Well, I think that's a good point that you make. The girlhood thing makes everything a little bit more questionable, because this is an adult that is acting as a child. And so what is really going on there? But, you know, we are not going to figure that out today. I think that's there's a lot here that is really hard to wrap your mind around. And honestly, I will tell you that I actually feel like Dylan Mulvaney, and I know this is not a popular opinion, but I feel like Dylan Mulvaney has been used. And ultimately, this is going to be really hard on Dylan as a person. I think this is going to be very emotionally challenging, because, you know, there's been a lot of life changes for Dylan over the past year. And a lot of those are going to come back and hit really hard pretty soon. And then coming out as this public person and being used by advertisers this way, let's face it, these marketers are using him to try to be extreme. They don't care about what the feelings are or what happens after the fact once they've done their deed and gotten rid of the influencer. But now where does that leave the person who's been used in this way?
That is so well said. And I wrote about this in my latest column. So there's a discussion a couple months ago about what is woke. And at the end of the day, woke is the weaponization of vulnerable groups. You saw it with race, and you're now seeing it with so-called transgender persons. They're weaponizing people like Mulvaney, who are susceptible to believe in anything they tell him, and they're using him for their own status. And you saw this with race, too. They would tell supposedly marginalized group, hey, society's still racist against you. Everything's rigged against you. So white liberals at the top could then use that and say, hey, look, we're focusing on these marginalized groups. Vote for us. Give us a pass and demonize all of our political opposition. That's exactly what's going on with what I call woman face. They are telling these sometimes teenagers, sometimes adults, hey, you be whatever you want to be. Treat your gender like a costume, and we'll tell you how victimized you actually are and how evil everybody else is. I mean, there was such great political, financial, and social benefit for the left by making the country more racialized during the aftermath of George Floyd. I believe they're doing the exact same thing with the transgender movement, trying to gain status by pretending to care about these groups, but they're not the ones who are going to have to bear the consequences. I mean, as far as I know, Mulvaney hasn't had any physical surgery, but those that undergo genital mutilation, I mean, Tudor, there was a story in the New York Times 2 months ago that creates lifelong wounds. When you cut your body parts off, your mind and body will always treat those wounds like a permanent scar. That is lifelong pain that political and social leaders have encouraged for their own benefit.
Yeah, well, so from what I understand, he has had face feminization. So I believe there's been surgery there. I don't believe what they call the top or bottom surgery has gone on. I don't know. I mean, here is the thing. Here we're talking about a person's personal body, about, because he's become so public. You know, what has he done? Is this permanently damaging him? And I think that's something that we really don't talk about. And that's the shame in these companies glorifying this, because to be honest, if we are being honest, it's not an easy life. And for the people who genuinely struggle with gender dysmorphia, that is a very challenging life. And oftentimes they're searching and they never really find satisfaction or happiness or joy, because it is a really hard thing to go through in life. And that, and body dysmorphia comes in many different ways. You see gender, you see people who go through eating disorders. It's always a struggle. So glorifying this is really not helping anybody. And I think that's the thing that is shocking as a parent, as someone who knew folks in college that went through body dysmorphia. It's something that, I mean, if you think about it, there would never have been a time when corporations would come out and just cheer on anorexia and say how great this is.
Yeah.
But it's in that same category. And yet we have corporations that have just embraced this to a way that it's gone to such an extreme. But I would say that the shout your victimhood mentality started really under Obama. We started to see that then. Like, embrace victimhood, be a victim. And since then, look at how society has broken down, especially in communities that he really pushed that in. Now we see high crime, we see violence, and they're cheering on crime too. They're letting people off. These soft on crime prosecutors are letting people continue to destroy businesses. Businesses are leaving these cities. What is going to be left if we continue to embrace victimhood instead of victory?
Yeah. And we described as what I call the pyramid of victimization. And obviously straight white males at the very bottom of it now. And all of a sudden trans person at the very top, they've certainly replaced minority skin color wise. I mean, that seems pretty obvious based on the movement of this. And I just think it is backwards. And like you said, we are awarding people who have the best claim of, oh, I've been a victim. And I also think it brings up a larger point, like you talked about with anorexia. By telling people they can be whatever they want to be, that they can wear gender like a mask, that encourages them to not overcome self-hate, but just succumb to it, right? Mm. The worst thing anybody can do is hate themselves and undergo a vivid change to undo that instead of reconciling who they are. And that's what I worry about with this entire movement, is that people don't like who they are. So they think, okay, I'm going to be happier turning into a woman or turning into a man, or maybe turning into both and switching back and forth like so many do now. They go undergo these surgeries, and those wounds are permanent. Those scars are permanent. And that's not better for them. That's not them coming to grips with who they are. That's them trying to change who they are and really succumbing to what I would say self-loathe. And that's the most dangerous consequence of this entire charade.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. You could be one of them, sitting in the dark and cold for hours, for days, maybe even weeks. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. Folks say this new solar generator from Four Patriots is, quote, worth its weight in gold. Why? Because this generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run the big appliances like your fridge even longer. Or other devices like an electric blanket, microwave, RV, air conditioner, or even an electric wheelchair. You also get 12 outlets, including 4 AC outlets, so you can power more devices at once, and 2 USB-C outlets, which can charge your phone 20 times faster than a regular plug. Best of all, this new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas, ever. Over 150,000 Americans trust Patriot Power Generators. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
I think that when you talk about that wound, that permanent wound, people are not understanding that when you have these surgeries, they are changing your nerve endings, they're cutting through your nerves. There's no feeling. This is not, you're not becoming something else. You are losing a big part of yourself. And you have to really understand that it's not a career change that you can go back. This is a permanent change.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I think so wrong with the whole conversation about this is that, people dismiss it as, oh, this is a culture war topic. This topic shouldn't affect you if it's not you. Well, actually, I think this does affect a lot of people because a lot of people are now taking showers in schools with men who call themselves women. I mean, that's not a person. I mean, that's a problem that affects everybody. And I think what you're seeing is the dangers that these surgeries have on people. That shouldn't be a problem that society just says, oh, that's a you problem. Let them go deal with it themselves. I mean, no, we need to forewarn people of the consequences, which nobody's doing. I mean, if you go on like CNN or MSNBC and say what I just said, they would call you transphobic and probably cut your mic off and not let you say it. But like, those are the conversations that need to be had. If adults still go and do this, they absolutely need to know the consequences. And there should be under no circumstance a way where kids that are under 18 can undergo these permanent changes. I mean, anyone who is encouraging that, I don't know if it's pedophilia or them trying to just benefit from political discourse, but that should absolutely not be happening. In any other era, that would be considered bizarre, offensive, and dangerous. But in this society in 2023, it's supposed to be normalized. I mean, I just can never come to grips with that.
Well, you talk about that pyramid, and obviously we know there was a time when the white male was really dominant in this country and was the one that was, you know, at the tops of companies and very powerful. And then that women started to come in, and then it was really the African-American woman, you know, the black woman that was going to be put on the Supreme Court, that was going to be held in high esteem. And then we went to the transgender, and that seems to have taken over. But black men never really had that moment where they were embraced and said, you know, we want to really lift up black men in this country and make them CEOs and see them succeed. And so we see a society where we have high black on black crime and not enough opportunity in those communities where we're raising up a very small percentage of people and ignoring black men altogether. When is it a time when black men succeed in this country?
Yeah, I mean, and that's such a good point, because the entire progressive movement pretty much originates from the idea that we always need to progress. And I think we often progress too fast and ignore change, ignore progress. And black men were just skipped over. And I don't think it's any coincidence that you're seeing black on black crime so often initiated almost always by black men, particularly when it's violence. So I don't know when their turn is, but they certainly never had it. They certainly never had it in the corporate sphere, other than maybe on sports networks and stuff. I think they did have their time. Maybe they have it right now. But by and large, you're absolutely absolutely right. And there's other groups that have been passed over too. I mean, the Hispanic community is much larger than the African-American community, but they make up far less powerful positions. I mean, there was a study from CNN a couple of months ago that when it comes to the medical field, Hispanics are far more underrepresented than African Americans, and they don't really get the attention. I think a lot of that is the media and politicians, they focus on the marginalized group or so-called marginalized group that they believe they can then weaponize for their own status. And I think for whatever reason, Black men, Hispanics were passed over, because I think it's clear right now, and it's going to be the next couple of years, trans people are the focus. And, you know, you go back to like when white men were dominant and all that stuff. I think that a lot of this is that we don't want to acknowledge progress, because it doesn't behoove people in power to acknowledge progress. I think they always want to be able to say, hey, this group, they deserve repercussions, comeuppance for their past dominance. And that's why I don't think this will ever stop, because there's always going to be this mindset, hey, they had their turn, now it's this group's turn. And I just think it's such a dangerous way to go about society. I mean, because there's no end in sight. It's a never-ending treadmill where there's always going to be a group weaponized as, okay, they're the focus, they're marginalized today. I mean, there's no end in sight with it.
It seems like when we used to talk about diversity, though, and when you had the progressive side of the country coming out and saying, you know, we need to make sure that your companies are diverse, that was because people were looking at folks and saying, you know, I'll go with this person over this person based on their outward appearance, which is generally connected to race or ethnicity. Whereas now diversity is not about that at all. It's about your sexuality, which is something you would imagine is not something you outwardly see from the person. But it's like, if you come out, I mean, I think even recently I was watching The Morning Show, and they were like, you know, if you come out as bi, you have a better chance of getting a promotion. And I thought, this is actually accurate. If you're coming out and telling someone your sexuality, you have a better chance of surpassing someone in a career. How bizarre has this become?
Oh, there's no question. I mean, you talk to like TV agents and network executives. I mean, they will be very open, like off the record or on background, like, hey, we just cannot hire a white male for this position, or we might not even be able to hire a white woman. We need to go diversity here. And that's why you see press releases all the time will say like first African-American woman, or they'll mention their race right off the bat just to make it clear that they hired for diversity. And Tudor, I always go back to 15 years ago, John went to the market. You'd say, hey, John, your neighbor went to the market. Now it's about John, who is a straight white conservative male, or John, who is a non-binary Black man. That middle part has become so crucial, because it's about identity, right? Is that your name and your personality and your past experiences matter less than your identification in the groups that you belong to now. And that's where this is all heading, right? Is that when you, like LinkedIn now is allowing recruiters to search for job candidates by race and by—
Are you serious?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Daily Wire reported 2 weeks ago. So if you're a big company and you want, I don't know, a Black woman or a non-binary white person, you can go search that now. So your credentials matter much less than your identity.
I mean, think about that for the majority of the country, because if we're being honest, the majority of the country does not fall within that category. And once again, you have minorities, according to race, who are going to be passed over for someone who is in a minority based on what they do in the bedroom, which you talk about celebrating this. I mean, just in the last week, we've been celebrating Karine Jean-Pierre and the fact that she's got a year as the White House spokesperson as a lesbian woman. This is like big news. I mean, I got probably 4 breaking news articles on the day of, like, this is the day we're celebrating. This is amazing. I don't actually want to know what she does in her bedroom. I don't want to think about it at all.
And I go back to that saying, 15 years ago, I never wondered. And now it's at the forefront of every conversation, right? Like, that's not progress. That's not making us a more inclusive society. We're actually becoming more exclusive, because we're all getting put into separate groups, and tribalism has just escalated over this stuff. And you're so right about that. Like, why does that matter? Is she a good press secretary or is she not? I mean, the answer is no, but I'd much rather have that be the conversation than what she does in the bedroom, because there's been a lot of press secretaries in the past that we never wondered that. We never cared. But now it matters so much. And that's not progress to me. That's us going backwards.
Well, and by that rate, you could have somebody who has had the most training in something, is excellent in their career, is some sort of a savant in engineering, but, you know, they are a heterosexual, so they're just going to be looked over. I mean, how bizarre is it that you have to worry about telling people what you do in your bedroom because it may not be desirable to your company? How did we even get here?
All right. Yeah. What's so interesting about this is all these big corporations train employees right away to like never ask about sexual
harassment.
Like, as soon as you join a big corporation, you take these sexual harassment classes. Like, don't you dare ask somebody what they do in the bedroom, but publicly and politically, we're supposed to ask the question. I mean, how does that make sense? And by the way, I've asked that question quite a few times because none of it doesn't make sense. None of it's supposed to make sense. But I find that so bizarre that you can't ask somebody about that in the workplace. But behind the scenes, every executive wants to know what they're doing in the bedroom.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I came out of the election and started talking to folks and had somebody come to me and say, oh, I'd really like you to work for the company that I own. I want you to sit down with the CEO. And so I sit down with the CEO and he looks at me and he says, yeah, you know, I'm sorry, you're just such a loud Republican. Now everybody knows that. So we have Democrats that are our customers. We really can't hire you. And in my mind, I thought, are you really allowed to tell someone in an interview based on your political status? We cannot. Your political beliefs, you are someone we cannot have at our company. But here it's like, how do you identify what's going on in your bedroom? Because that'll depend on whether or not we bring you aboard. But if you're a Republican, you're out of here.
Yeah, no, I have a friend who works at a sports network, and he's a white guy, and he's 35, and there's not a lot of opportunity for straight white guys. And I told him, I said, well, if you put they and them in your bio and say you're non-binary, I mean, wouldn't that increase your chance? Because then all of a sudden you're a warrior, you're setting a trend and all that stuff. But it is true, because I say that jokingly, but I do believe little stuff like that can make a huge difference. Or not little, but identity has become the top qualification across corporate America. And once you get to that point, I mean, you just have a system that's failing because the best people are not getting their positions. Now, I know people always fire back and say, oh, it's always been like that. Never quite like this. Never before has your identification, what you do in the bedroom, and your appearance mattered so much. I mean, what you look like, how you were born, technically can now determine the entire success of your career. And that is so unfortunate for hardworking people who were born, unfortunately, maybe white and they are straight. I mean, what are they supposed to do? Like, if you're 12 years old right now and you're a white male and you want to work in a Fortune 500 company, what do you do? Because chances are your identification is going to be held against you.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast. 2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. You could be one of them, sitting in the dark and cold for hours, for days, maybe even weeks. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. Folks say this new solar generator from Four Patriots is, quote, worth its weight in gold. Why? Because this generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run the big appliances like your fridge even longer. Or other devices like an electric blanket, microwave, RV, air conditioner, or even an electric wheelchair. You also get 12 outlets, including 4 AC outlets, so you can power more devices at once, and 2 USB-C outlets, which can charge your phone 20 times faster than a regular plug. Best of all, this new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas, ever. Over 150,000 Americans trust Patriot Power Generators. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's almost as though these companies really don't get what they're putting out there, because it's really not easily consumable by much of the public. Much of the public doesn't really, I mean, this doesn't impact their lives. It doesn't resonate. It's not a big deal. So I'll pick on the movie Bros, for example, because that movie came out and it did horribly at the box office. And there was like all of this news that people are so homophobic, they didn't go see the movie Bros. And it was funny because one of the folks working on the campaign at the time was gay. And he said to me, I can tell you why Bros didn't work. He was like, think about it. Romantic comedies are made for women because women love to like put themselves in that mindset of, oh, I could have that same life. It was like, dudes hate romantic comedies. I'm a dude. I'm gay. Still don't want to go see a romantic comedy. Like, that's not your audience. Yeah. But the news was, oh my gosh, people didn't go see this. Well, dudes don't go see movies like that. You know, why are they not getting this?
And that goes back to our initial conversation about just not knowing your audience, not knowing your customers, not knowing your consumers. And when you reject them and prioritize PR and critical acclaim, those are the end results. And all this stuff has failed. I mean, I hate cliches. I think they're lazy, but like the phrase go woke, go broke actually has a lot of merit, because what that really means is a company is catering to not their active consumers, but a group that doesn't like them. And that you've seen Disney do that. You've seen the NBA do that. You see so many cable news channels do that. I mean, it's just a recipe for disaster. And that example you gave, Bros, it hits it right in the nose. Guys don't want to see that. So if that's what you're appealing to, you're going to fail. I always say status has replaced success, and the end results are just a fractured marketplace where content is not made for the vast majority of society at large.
So we don't see a lot of foreign companies doing this at this point. We don't see a lot of foreign beers doing this. This seems to be an American company type of thing. So does a Miller, does a Anheuser-Busch, do these companies come back from this? Is there any return for them?
I think Miller Lite and Bud Light are uniquely vulnerable because there's so many beer options, right? Like if Nike or Under Armour do this, and they have, it's harder to just say, I'm not going to buy Nike or I'm not going to buy Under Armour. It's very easy to go to a bar and choose another beer other than Miller or Bud Light. So they're gonna have a much harder time coming back from this stuff. And you've seen, history says a lot of times it takes a long time. Late night shows have never come back from their rejection of society at large. So do I think things will normalize some? Do I think Bud Light will rebound from its downward trajectory? Yes, but I don't know that Bud Light's ever going to get back to where they were, because people are creatures of habits. Once they make a change, they often don't undo that change. So the people who have given up Bud Light in favor of a new beer, I think they're most likely just going to stay drinking that new beer, because it's probably not all that different after you drink it for 1 month straight, as so many blue collar people have done.
Obviously, Bud Light is struggling significantly. We're seeing them give out rebates. They're trying desperately to get people back. Did this teach other companies anything? I mean, we obviously also Disney, we've seen DeSantis go after Disney. We've also seen a lot of people say, you know what, I'm just done with Disney Plus. They're starting to do some weird things. They're pushing weird stuff on my kids. And you know what, I can pick something else. There are other cartoons out there. Do companies start to learn from this and say, you know what, we're just going to stop the political messaging?
I'm hopeful. I mean, Netflix is the best example. Netflix leaned into all of this stuff pretty aggressively. And over the past year and a half, they've taken the opposite approach. They doubled down on Dave Chappelle. They doubled down on Chris Rock. And they sent out memos to employees saying, hey, if you're offended, you leave. We're not going to just tell people they can't have this opinion, particularly in the case of Dave Chappelle. And I don't think people have focused enough on this. Netflix is actually adding subscribers. They did last quarter. I don't know about this quarter. But they went under a quote unquote woke reversal to great success. So I hope more people look at Netflix and see, hey, we don't need to cater to these people because they're unappeasable. We're never going to impress them. Why don't we just ignore them? A recent study from FreeBeacon came out that only 8% of the electorate actually agrees with the woke movement or what woke has come to mean. So if you just ignore them, there's no bad business repercussions because so little people.
Well, that's what I don't get. Why not just ignore it? Exactly. Why not just focus on who your clients are?
Because that 8% makes up a large percent of Twitter and the corporate press. And most people.
And a lot of the creativity.
They don't have the backbone to withstand 36 hours of mean tweets and hit pieces from the New York Times, Washington Post. Because if you can withstand those 36 hours, they'll move on and go to a new target. But most executives can't do that. They're too fragile. They're too cowardly and too afraid that if they're the target, they'll go down. But at some point, you have to be confident that enough people are going to say, hey, let them tweet that. Let them write that. We're not going to change our business for this small, radical subsection of society.
Let's take a look at CNN, because they are obviously the network that is now in decline. They have tried several times to say, oh, we're going back to the middle. We want to just be non-biased news. They have this town hall with Donald Trump, and they're literally crying the next day. You've got Anderson Cooper like, I don't know what happened. We feel so bad. This is disgusting. You know, what is going on? I mean, Newsmax beat them out this week. This is big news. Newsmax had higher numbers than CNN. And that, to me, means people are saying, you know what? I really am going the opposite direction of the woke MSNBC, CNN type of news. So is this an opportunity for people to come in and just share news on from a regular non-biased standpoint? Or is CNN going to get the lesson? Or are they going to continue to cry into their Cheerios about everything that happens on the right?
Oh, you're so right. And congratulations to my friends at Newsmax. I have a lot of friends there. What an accomplishment. I mean, just, you know, relatively an upstart cable news network for most people, just to beat CNN, which has been around longer than any other cable news network. Props to them. What a change in tide there is. But I'm actually less optimistic when it comes to CNN because, Tudor, CNN finds itself in such a bizarre, unique situation where the left is now mad at them for going back to the middle. CEO Chris Licht said 2 months ago, he goes, I can't believe all the left-wing vitriol we're getting for prioritizing journalism first. Well, really? You're not surprised? But on the other hand, the right says, hey, these people were against us for at least the past 5 years, probably the last 10. Sure, there's new management, but we don't trust them because of who they employ. They still employ Jake Tapper, Anderson Cooper, Laura Coates, Breonna Kyler. So I think right now, CNN doesn't have either side. The left's mad at them. The right's still mad at them. And there's so small number of people who are in the middle who just want straight news. So I think CNN's problems are only beginning. I don't see a solution for Chris Licht and Discovery Management. I think CNN is going to continue hemorrhaging viewers until they find an identity, because right now they're in a crisis where all sides, also their employees, all hate the brand.
Well, we see interesting things happening with MSNBC, CNN, Fox. Everything right now seems to have a little bit of shift and change in it. But we are also seeing places like BuzzFeed and Vice close down. Do one of the big networks not make it? Does it go to just two?
I don't see that happening, but I do think the media marketplace is becoming more and more fractured. I think one of the big questions is, what does the next star in media look like? Meaning, what platform are they on? Because I would say Tucker Carlson has been the biggest star in media the past 5 years. He's now going to Twitter. Is Twitter going to host the biggest star, or is it going to be someone like Ben Shapiro, who makes a lot of money on Facebook and YouTube and Apple Podcasts? I don't think cable news is going away, but it's much more fractured because of these digital players. You talk to so many people out and about, they don't even watch news on TV. They're getting it on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, or Rumble, or maybe now Twitter. So I don't see cable news going away, but I think it's going to be a diminished form to what it was even 2-3 years ago, particularly what it was during the Trump administration.
Or OutKick. So tell us about where people can find your stuff.
Yeah, or OutKick, right? I mean, you can just cut the cord and go right to OutKick. But yeah, OutKick.com. I'm there pretty much every day writing about stuff. And yeah, come check it out. And by the way, we're big fans of yours, and congratulations on all your success.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And thank you for coming on, Bobby Burak. Please check him out at OutKick. He's writing all the time, and he's a Michigander, so you know that everything he does is amazing, just like everybody in Michigan. But thank you so much for being on today. I appreciate it. And thank you all for joining me on the Tudor Dixon Podcast for this episode and others. As always, go to TudorDixonPodcast.com. You can subscribe right there, or go to the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you join me next time on the Tudor Dixon Podcast, and have an awesome day. 2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. This new solar generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run the big appliances like your fridge even longer. Best of all, this new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas, ever. Over 150,000 Americans trust Patriot Power Generators. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.